Welcome back. I'm Gary Parr.
And I'm Beth Ellicott.
And this is the midweek version of the Fiber Talk podcast twice weekly show.
Thing we do.
Yeah, that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All the time.
Yeah. So tonight on the Stitch Hour, Natalie Dupuy will be with us and a full presentation on color. Looking forward to that.
Yeah, it's going to be a great show. Yep. She is so interesting.
Yeah.
A great teacher.
Yeah, I think that's really key. She really is just a good teacher. She knows how, well, she is a former teacher, so she knows how to organize and present information so that everybody can get something out of it. And so she put together a special show for us tonight on color, just basic stuff. And she has coming up a full-blown color class called Ode to the Palette that will be in the spring, which, as we get toward the end of February, is just around the corner. But and if you go to wetalkfiber.com/color, but the British spelling, C-O-L-O-U-R, wetalkfiber.com/color, then you'll be able to see a video she made about the class. Registration isn't open yet, but you'll get a sense of what is going to be in the class, and it's going to be quite nice. I'm taking it. I'm going to suck it up and learn something about color in a formal fashion. So we get a little foundational color instruction tonight, and then if you want to take that class, registration will be opening soon. So yeah,
and it looks like a great class. You know, it just looks like she walks you through all the steps of how to learn about color.
And she's basing it on some famous painters. I don't have enough culture to know those things, but
And she said the names, but she said them in like kind of the French way. So maybe if she'd said them in the Americanized version, I might have recognized them. But
yeah. Yeah, she's got much more class, so she does it in the proper pronunciation. Yeah,
I'm just a country bumpkin here.
We could Americanize it, but we'll just let her say it. She does it a whole lot better. But
yes.
So that's tonight, 8 o'clock Eastern on the YouTube channel. Our regular Wednesday Stitch Hour. Natalie Dupuy. That the whole thing will be Natalie. And wetalkfiber.com/color, C-O-L-O-U-R, will get you to the page so you can learn more about our class if you're interested. And get I don't know when registration starts, but that's coming up. So join us tonight for that. That'll be a lot of fun. We'll learn something. And then also a reminder now, the Mary Jane Fry 1861 sampler that Amanda Rowe has made available for us, that is still available. I mean, I'm leaving it up. So you can download that for free. wetalkfiber.com/MJF1861. And then Kim at Sassy Jacks has put together a kit, actually several kits, different cloth, thread counts, and a couple of thread, different kinds, I think Cosmo and DMC, I think. You'd think I'd do the research ahead of time, but so that's wetalkfiber.com/MJF1861 kit. We'll get you to the Sassy Jacks page, and you can order a kit from Kim from the selection that she's put together. So be sure and check that out. And then Amanda has made available another sampler for us that I just need a couple hours to get it all organized. And we'll have that available, and she's making that available to us for free too. And then Kim will put together some kits for that. So we'll have that in the next couple weeks. I just need a couple hours to get the PDF pages all lined up and organized into one package. But very nice of Amanda to make these available. Really kind of her. So And thanks to Sharon Bruce for connecting us, because that's how that happened for us. Go ahead.
I was just thinking, you know, that it's nice. It's a beautiful sampler. I might have to look to get some linen. I think I have enough thread, but you know, maybe a piece of linen big enough.
You don't have linen in the basement that you can.
I gotta go look.
Oh,
It might not be big enough. I
I
mean,
see.
that's my problem. There might be just too small.
I see. Okay. Well,
That's my excuse, and I'm sticking with it.
all right. Well, we'll look forward to that report then. Yep. Also, speaking of Sassy Jacks, we have the Cosmo Thread Club still just started now, the first month. 20 skeins for $21 plus shipping. And FT Cosmo gets you five blue skeins for free. So you get 25 skeins for $21 the first time. Then every month after that, it's 20 skeins for $21. So WeTalkFiber.com/Cosmo gets you the solid colors. WeTalkFiber.com/Cosmo variegated gets you the variegated. So you can do one, the other, or both. And it's a good way to collect Cosmo threads. I went with solid. Some people went with both.
Yeah, I wouldn't mention any names.
No, I
No.
don't. Yeah, no, I don't
No.
want to. No,
No.
no.
Well, why not? They were beautiful too. They're just gorgeous colors.
Yeah. Oh, and I wanted to ask you about that. The variegated ones, is it a nice gradual color change or are they fairly abrupt?
To me, they looked gradual.
Okay.
They look special. But I think you really only can tell when you start stitching with them. Sometimes that's the only way I can tell, at least. Sometimes I think, oh, these are gradual, and then it's roll up. Yeah.
Yeah, then you get stripes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yes. Play with them.
Yeah. But yeah, that's fun because when mine came, it was fun just to just spill them all out on the table. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's all
And the
right.
blues are really pretty.
Yeah. I like those. Yep. So yeah, I'm lining up. I've got a couple samplers I'm looking at that I'm gonna see if I can make the co well, I'm sure I can make the Cosmo threads work, but yeah, I had a couple of them that I think have potential to just be stitched with Cosmo threads. So that's kind of my loose plan for now.
Yeah, and you just got tons of time, so.
I do. I've been bored for days.
Yeah, I
Yeah.
figured.
Yeah, I really just bored stiff.
And you need a new project.
Yeah, I mean, I sit there and watch the clock because I got nothing to do. So, jeez.
Right.
Because what was it last week? We recorded five shows.
Yeah, something like that. It was
Yeah,
crazy.
yeah. Five shows. Trying to get ahead and stay ahead. Like to get a month ahead. And but yeah, and when and, when you do this stuff, you got to do it when people are available. So it's
Right.
they say I can do it this day at this time. You make it happen. Yep. What else we got going on? So many things. The Spring Hill sampler. Oh, I want to talk about that in a minute. Okay. New thing
Okay.
coming up. New thing coming up on the third Wednesday of each month. Mark this down. So on the first Wednesday, we'll have the Embroiderers Guild Gallery from April from Sydney, Australia. We'll have the tour of the exhibitions on the first Wednesday. Then on the third Wednesday of every month, starting in March, Kathy Ray is going to do what we're calling it for the moment, Thread Talk. So we're going to have a session on Wednesday night every month, the third Wednesday of every month, with Kathy. Talking about different kinds of threads, different aspects of threads, how they behave, how to use them, so on and so forth. I'm really excited about this. I think it's going to be a great addition to the lineup.
Oh, I think so too. I think because there's so many properties of the threads that like the S twist and the Z twist. That one always gets me because I
Yeah.
know, yeah. And how you stitch with those, if you're right-handed or left-handed, makes a difference.
Right.
Like if you're doing bullion knots, huge difference.
Yeah.
Huge difference.
And I
Oh yeah.
don't have a full understanding of that. I understand the concept, but
But
yeah,
Kathy
so
Ray knows.
yeah. So yeah, so really looking forward to that. Kathy's got a lineup of things, topics to talk about, and if anybody has something, just send email to me, Gary@wetalkfiber.com, and I'll pass that on to Kathy. She has plenty. But if somebody has some topic that you want us to talk about, let us know and we'll get that into the schedule because we want to provide information that listeners want. So that's going to be really great. And Sunday, we have our guest is Brendan and Karen Kirk, And most people know Brendan from the Linen and Threads Stitch Along, the annual Stitch Along monthly thing. But Brendan and Karen, they do fox and rabbit designs. And Karen's division is Blackberry Rabbit Designs, where she does her own thing. And now they are selling linens, beautiful linens.
Oh, their linens are gorgeous.
Yeah.
Oh.
Kim has them. I had a conversation with Jean Lee at the attic here the other day, and she was gushing over them. They're just everybody, beautiful linens.
Do you have a piece of any of those linens?
No.
Oh, they feel it because I have seaweed, I do believe, and it is beautiful, and it feels. I really have an urge to start a project on it. So it's like I need another project too.
Yeah. Okay, so when you say it's beautiful, is like have a soft hand to it?
Yes, it you know, some linen feels rough,
right?
Or feels like, or it's too loose of a weave. It feels like you know your stitches are gonna look loosey goosey on them,
right?
This has that. It's not too tight of a weave, but I have 40 count, but it's just. That sweet spot that you want.
Oh. You know?
And the colors, it's the color. It's a, well, think of seaweed.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not like a bright green. It's like a dusty green seaweed color. It's just gorgeous.
Hmm.
And I'm thinking of it's for pandemic.
And
so just do 310 on it, I think, and it'll look gorgeous.
Okay. Yeah. All right, I can see that. So I didn't mean to drop names there, but those are the two people I've talked to about it here in the recent week. And it was like without reservation, this is really nice linen. So,
yeah.
And they're shipping a lot of it. Brendan posted a picture. They got a new automatic ironing machine, like industrial grade. Put in a full yard and just let it go through the rollers, but the pile of linen they had all around him was frightening.
And they posted something on Instagram with those huge rolls.
Yes,
I was like, oh my word!
the white that they get to dye. Yeah, holy smokes! Yeah, truckload of it. Yeah.
Oh wow.
Yep. So Sunday, we talk with Karen and Brendan. So you get to learn all about that and their new sampler designs and so on and so forth. And plus, they're just great people, so it's fun to talk to them.
Yeah,
we had a great time doing that. That was fun. So that's Sunday. And then the Spring Hill, Karen Kluba's Spring Hill Rosewood Manor Stitch Along. Okay, so I finished Hannah Longstreth. Yay me.
Bravo.
That was so, okay, diversion from Spring Hill. So I get done, okay? I put in the last stitch of the actual design. And then, all right, now I just got to put my name on it. And I'm not a fan of putting my name on things because I never feel like it fits.
Right, right.
It always looks funny. So I try to put it in a color that you really don't notice, but it's there. And I went to a couple of Bristol sampler charts and stole an alphabet off of that and just did that because I was just going to backstitch and I could tell right away it was just going to look really amateurish and I didn't want it to look that way on that beautiful sampler. So I went and just got an alphabet. So that ended up being a whole evening to get that in. So it was one more night than I was planning on with that, but I'm really proud of it. I have to say it came out really nice. I'm really, really pleased with it. So,
yeah, it looks, and you know, and even when you look at, you know, the covers of charts or even looking at it when you were showing it last year, I was like, yeah, that's nice. But seeing yours while you were stitching on it, I think that just the colors are vibrant. It's a beautiful sampler.
Yeah.
It's just gorgeous. And you've never made yourself like a chop. Or your initials somehow to put on your pieces?
I did for earlier ones. Like if you look at earlier needle points, I have a I combine the G and the P into one little kind of monogram, and I had that. I could backstitch that pretty easy, and then I would just put the last two numbers of the year. But right. I felt, you know, that we've had so many discussions about letting people know who stitched the reproduction sampler that I really felt like I needed to put my full name and the month and the year on it, just as a way of identifying that this is a reproduction and who did it. So
right, okay.
So I went to that trouble, but yeah, normally I would not have gone to that much trouble. Yeah, but and then also, if you buy anything from Sassy Jacks, Kim also includes like a 5x7.
Little squirrel. They're a little squirrel with that you can put the information on the back of the framing.
Right. Yeah, stick self adhesive thing. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I have a number of those, as you can imagine, so I filled one of those out and put it with the sampler. I wrapped it all up and put it away for now. And so I filled one of those out so I'd remember the linen and the threads and all that. And
right, all the because I never remember all that information. You know, yeah. A month from now I'll be like, what was I stitching?
Yeah. <Was I kidding? laughs> Yeah, so that when it gets framed, then that'll go on the back of it, I was really pleased with that. Yep,
it's gorgeous. You did a wonderful job. It's just beautiful.
Well, thanks.
And it's NPI silks, correct?
Right. Yep. All NPI silks. Yep.
And 45 count Russian tea cake.
Jersey cream. 45 count. Yep. Legacy linen. Yeah. Yeah. And through most of it, I thought I was stitching on 40 count until Kim wrote to me and said, actually, you're stitching on 45 count. Oh, okay.
Did you have any problems with it?
No.
I mean,
no.
You didn't, yeah.
I mean, it's a really tight weave. I'll admit it's a really tight weave, but I like that in general. I much prefer that over a loose weave. Those loose weaves drive me nuts.
Right.
Didn't bother me at all. And I use a magnifier. So, I mean, I thought I was stitching on 40 count all along. So what do I know?
Because my spring hill's on the 45 count. And if I don't have the light right, correct, in the correct position so I can see my threads, I'm like, I am struggling. I'm like, okay, this I need to move some lights around and get everything just right.
I sometimes wonder if, on those, you would do better if you would get a magnifier on a stand with with an LED ring light around it.
Maybe. I've thought of that.
Yeah.
I do have like a magna clip. Normally, I don't have any problems. I have some lights and they shine on my piece. I put my glasses on. I'm happy. But this one, I have a magna clip, little battery operated, that I point directly where I'm stitching, and that seems to help. Yeah. But I have to have it on there, so
yeah. Because that's,
so you're thinking about doing something new with Spring Hill.
Yeah, I've been studying. I have not put a stitch in, but that's going to happen here quickly. I started out because I always start upper left corner, and well, that's a back stitch vine.
Mm-hmm.
And I started out, and I was going to stitch that. And I thought, I don't know. It just looks, whatever. I suppose I could do it. It'd be a quick thing, you know, and be done. And then I thought, you know, I wonder how that would look if I use stem stitch. So yeah. I think I'm going to stitch that vine that goes, because I think it's on the top half all the way around, right? And then it stops.
Yeah.
I think I'm going to do that in stem stitch. And then I started thinking, well, wait a minute, because there's little tendrils that come off the main vine.
And some leaves.
Exactly. And I'm thinking I'm going to do some kind of a surface embroidery on the leaves. Like I might ditch the tendrils and do leaves.
Everywhere there's a tendril, you'll put a leaf instead and maybe a leaf stitch?
Yeah, that's what I'm working on right now in my head. Do I want to do that? But I'm thinking What I'm thinking about doing is creating, instead of just a line of back stitches and you know, tendrils and back stitches, and then eyelets for the flowers, I'm thinking about creating as an actual vine with thread, with leaves and a stem stitch for the main vine, and then I'm not even sure I'm going to do eyelets for the flowers. I'm thinking about something else to do that. That's just kind of what's banging around in my head right now, so that that vine is more than just that thin little border of, yeah.
The only thing I'm thinking about, and this is just because I was thinking about it, I was stitching on my spring hill the other night, and I'm doing the vine, and I'm slowly putting in the leaves that I should have been putting the tendrils in too, now that I'm thinking about it. But anyway, I was wondering if it will make that top too heavy. Because you know how she has it, she doesn't have it balanced. In a, you know what, the piece is compositionally heavy towards the bottom.
Right.
So how is that going to change the composition? Because I think the stem stitch will be it'll be heavier. It'll be a thicker line than just doing a back stitch, correct? Right. And then so will the leaves. But I mean, again, then it might make the whole piece more balanced then.
And that, you know? And that is the old nail that you just hit on the head. And that's what I'm struggling with. And I, the only way I know to find out is to do it.
Yes.
And, but yes, that is exactly what's been in my head. If I do that, if I do the vine the way I think it is, the way I think I want to, does it then become this dominant heavy thing that feels like this big lid over the piece?
Well, and I'm just wondering if you, like, she's got her zigzagging kind of undulating up and down. I don't think I would do that if I were going to do the stem, because I thought about it, because when you were, I thought, man, he's got an idea there. I would do more gentle curves, do fewer of them.
Mm-hmm.
Like maybe even put my alphabet, find where those alphabets are, you know, put those in just so you have those borders in, and then put an undulating vine. And then not maybe as many leaves, because she's got a lot of leaves.
Yeah.
And then it wouldn't be nearly as heavy.
Right.
And it would look, I think it would look more balanced.
Yeah, there's going
to sketch it out. You'd have to sketch it out,
yeah,
for sure.
But. Yeah, there's going to be a fine line in there, because when I thought, hey, I'm going to do actual leaves, I'm going to embroider leaves, I thought, you need to be careful, because you get too many of them in too heavy of a green or too big, and they'll just dominate everything.
Right.
So, yeah. Yeah, it's...
But I still think, you know, it. I think if, again, as long as you didn't follow her exact curves, I think if you did less curves, fewer leaves, like you're saying, maybe in a few and fewer flowers, and I would do a maybe a lighter color, you know, not do all the colors she did or something, so you're not, it's not so busy up there.
Yeah, I like the gentle undulation. I think that's a good idea, just enough to give it a little motion, but not, yeah,
not to make it busy.
Right. You okay there?
Yeah, I just dropped my earpiece. Sorry. I got excited. I was moving my hand.
Oh, is that what happened?
I was trying to draw this picture for you. You didn't see me, did you?
I didn't see it. No. No.
Oh, sorry.
I'm leaving all this right in. I'm leaving that in so people can appreciate your efforts
to help you.
To illustrate what you mean. Yeah, I'm leaving that right there because people can visualize that.
I'm sure they can.
Because, what's got me thinking, okay, number one, I just finished Hannah Longstreth, and I'm, quite frankly, I've made enough X's for a while. But then, you know, I really want to develop my surface embroidery skills, which, quite frankly, are pretty crude and rudimentary at this juncture. And so I thought, well, wait a minute, this design lends itself really well to that kind of just not all of it, but there are several places in there where you can do something other than cross stitch. And so that's, that got my wheels spinning. And so obviously, if I start in the upper left corner, I got to start with the vine. So that was where the first thing went. But then I've also been looking at other things because what is it on the hill or a little sheep or something? So, that says to me French knots. Because I just kind of started to have a vision of this beautiful design that Karen created in cross stitch, and just using opportunities to put a little more dimension and texture into it.
And on those hills too, there's like it seems like there's a wide band of that really chartreusey green, and I keep thinking doing those in satin stitch. I was going to do it in the vines that have the flower, the three flowers sticking in, but because I'm using the 100/3, I thought that looks like it might be a little too heavy there. I'm not going to do that. I'm going to keep with the little X's, but when I move down, because it already is heavy down at the bottom, I'm going to change that out. I actually pulled the threads for that, and I have them. And I tried them on the side of my piece of linen, and it's the voltage. That'll that's what I'm going to use. Just one strand of it to do the satin stitch.
You know what that thick band on the hill me says to me?
What does it say?
Montenegrin.
Oh. Are you nuts?
Well, yeah, I am, but that's what it says to me. Every time I look at that's what that says to me is Montenegrin stitch.
Oh. Yuck.
Well, it's pretty straight, so you don't have to turn a lot, because Montenegrin's not a
That's
big
true.
deal if you don't have to turn corners.
Oh no. And in fact, the straight, you go straight across. I can do that.
That's pretty basic. When you got to turn corners, though, it's like, oh man, you got to be kidding me.
Oh, right.
Yeah. So that's what that line says to me.
You also made me think, I wonder if, because it is, if that doesn't work, maybe even doing like a Smyrna cross. I need to make a little note. Because I
There's another
like
one.
Smyrna crosses. I mean, that to me, I know they take more time than making a big X, but instead of doing each individual little X, I'm sure there's a row of cross stitches. I could make them bigger and make them Smyrna crosses.
Yeah, I just think the more I look at it, the more I think this piece lends itself to going off the reservation a bit. And as a result, you can put some nice texture and dimension to it while staying true to the design.
Now you got me thinking, isn't there a, okay, so I don't have my piece here. You got
There's
the
no charge for
insulating big,
that. No charge for
thanks.
that. I'm happy to
No charge
help.
for extra thinking. You got the three flowers up on the top, and then there's like, and Jennifer has done this band already, but it's got little flowers in it. And that makes me think of going in there and following that band and then doing like lazy daisy stitches instead of there.
And you're on a high enough thread count that you can easily do that.
Yes.
The more I've thought about this, the more I'm convinced that the end result of what I do is going to be different from what you see on the cover.
And the fun thing about this piece are the colors are gorgeous. They are just they're vibrant, but she does such a lovely job with the color choices that it's going to look beautiful no matter what we do on it.
Right. Yeah, it's but it lends itself. And because see what okay what I've been thinking about those things, but then my thinking really went into hyperdrive after talking to Emily Ferris, because the discussion about how if she's designing, and I won't say the name, but I had the same discussion with another designer here not too long ago. If she's designing and stitching just for her, needle painting, several more colors go into the mix to get what she wants in terms of a look. But when she puts a design together, and she's not alone, when she puts a design together, she limits the number of colors to, I think her number is like 16 or 17 or something, because she doesn't want to make people buy skeins of thread and they only use 6 inches.
Right.
And so she'll limit the colors. And that stuck with me because I started looking at Spring Hill as, well, wait a minute, because there's the other side of that coin. Okay, you buy a design and it calls for 10 colors. There is no rule that says you can't add to that.
Right.
No rule whatsoever. So she limits it because of what she want, you know, what the package she wants to sell that she knows that people will buy. But the other side is then you're more than entitled to add your colors. And so then that put me into hyperdrive with Spring Hill. Wait a minute. That can go, the same applies for stitches or anything else. Just because Karen did it that way, I can do it. I can add to it. There's no rule. And
right.
Because, you know, we're just so fixated on this is the design, this is the way it was put together, you must replicate it. And right. No. So,
right.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you're right. I think I'm thinking I was having problems. I've only finished one of those big flowers in the grouping. And I did one section I just didn't like. It didn't blend correctly, the colors that were in my kit.
Mm-hmm.
So I used the yellow that looked like it matched. And I was like, you know what? I don't like it. And out it came. And I used the brighter yellow, which made me so much happier. But just changing those few things, I was like, I don't have to do it exactly as charted. It's just like giving yourself permission. Like, it's right. Okay. You know, you know, just do it. Just enjoy the process.
Yes. Yes. And that's the thing, giving yourself permission, but feeling comfortable enough with it to just dig in.
Right.
And go for it. Not go little baby steps. Well, can I really try this? Well, she called for this, but no. Just no. go crazy with it.
Let's just do it.
Yeah. And see, for me, like a reproduction sampler like Hannah Longstreth, I feel like if I'm going to do a reproduction sampler, I should follow it and make it as close to a true reproduction as I can. I mean, I just feel that I owe it to the person who reproduced it and to the girl who did it originally to replicate it as close as possible. But then I look at a sampler like Spring Hill, which is, yeah, it's effectively a sampler. And that's an original design. And nobody said, it's not like I'm replicating history here.
Right. And I guess I feel like there's enough people doing it that feel like you, that feel like they have to do it exactly as charted. Whereas I'm kind of like, well, you know, I'm going to change it because I don't necessarily like the colors. And I know those little girls, what they were doing, they were digging through their teacher or their mom's,
yep,
picking out their favorite colors or whatever their mom said they could let them use. And they were just putting it on. So I can do the same thing too. I can pull my favorite colors and use it.
That's exactly, yeah, there's a lot of truth to that. Cause you know, darn well, that's what it was. This is the piece of cloth that I have or that right. My mom will give me. And these are the threads that we happen to have. And the next shipment that's coming in on a sailboat from England won't be here for 6 months. So I better make do.
This is what you're using.
Yeah.
This is what you're using.
Yeah.
And so why not use the colors? We have so many, you know, let's use the colors we like.
Yeah. Yeah, see it, but for the reproductions, I just feel that historical obligation. So, I don't know.
That's good. You do that, Gary, and then I'll just add.
Yeah.
My own color twist.
Okay, you go crazy. Yeah.
Go crazy. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
So yeah, so that was, you know, that's kind of the mental process, and Emily Ferris, boy, I really enjoyed talking to her both times.
Yeah, those were both very. The one on Sunday, the live show, was really very well. That was good. That was really good. Interesting to listen to her talk about her designs and how she did add just a little bit after she was, I was thinking of that gray cat and how there's not enough grays.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Interesting. And I know what she means about that. She listed the DMC color. There's one that's almost, it's green. It's like a funky green, but it's gray.
Mm-hmm.
And when she said that, I was like, I know which color you're talking about.
Well, it was so weird when she talked about that, because Natalie Dupuy, I swear it was like last week, Wednesday or Thursday, she had posted on Instagram that she was trying to work out a gray gradation, didn't say for what, and doesn't really matter. But she was complaining about that very thing. And I thought, how can we be at this juncture in history with all the colors that DMC has, and a designer would say there is not enough variation in grays to make it work? Because you would think by now that, I mean, blacks and whites, for contrast, shadows, whatever, you would think by now there would be more grays and blacks than you could come up with, or that you could ever need, you know, but there apparently isn't.
No. And you know, I know I use Procyon dyes when I'm dyeing, and we were doing tints and tones when we were playing with color, and the black we were using, I think no longer is manufactured. I have some, you know, some of my friends have a little bit, because you don't need a whole lot. And we did do where we did fabric and gradations of gray. And it's harder to do than you think. We tried an experiment with the grays that are offered by Procyon. She might have bought some from Dharma too, which is the other big dyeing company. And we did try to do gradations of them. And some of them don't shade down very well. It's hard to get them to get lighter and stay true to the color. So there are those issues with the dye. So my first thought was, we played with that. And I was just wondering if, you know, it's harder than you think to get the right, to get those values.
Yeah. Well, yeah, because we were talking about that with Brendan, that black Procyon dye that doesn't exist anymore, and he's clinging to a teaspoon or two of it.
Right.
But so that is then, so that helps understand the issue with grays. So you can't just put in 5% and then 10% and count on it being a 5% change in gray.
Correct.
Doesn't work that way.
It doesn't always work that way. It depends on the dye itself. And then just if you've done any paint mixing, just a little bit goes a long way. And that's how black is, or that black used to be. You added just a little bit, and it totally changed how the colors looked.
Mm.
And we're talking, oh, golly. I'm trying to think. We used like a teaspoon to 10 tablespoons or something of dye. And that's how little it took. Maybe even less than that. It was just a, a minuscule amount to change like a bright red to maroon color.
Okay.
So yeah, and so I can imagine with the with dyeing the stuff that DMC is trying to do, it would be hard to get that radiation.
That's interesting. So then, okay, so then that, yeah, all right. So I've seen them at the paint store mixing paints, and a lot of times there'll be just a little dribble of black that'll go in, and you think, what's that going into a, a sky blue? And, just to be extreme about it. And then you'll see the difference. And so that same principle applies then to dyeing fabrics or threads. You got to be really careful with those dark colors because they, a little bit makes a big change then.
And if you're doing like we're talking about that that one gray green, that gray green, if you shade that gray green down, it's not going to maybe necessarily stay the same on the DMC. I mean, it kind of changes a little bit. So,
So
yeah.
we have to cut DMC some slack.
Yes. But maybe, and two, maybe if more people are asking for those, that would be the other issue. Are enough people asking for different shades of gray?
Well, I'm sure the DMC people in particular are hit all the time from designers. I want, I need five more different reds, or I need five blues. And I'm sure they just go, get out of here. Just
And I'm guessing that's the other. The red is probably the other hard one to get shades of.
So,
Because if
okay.
you get the wrong shade of red, that's just blah. Oh my, yeah.
It's an interesting aspect of it because day to day we just take the colors for granted. But a designer who is trying to achieve a look, and it isn't always the color they're using, as we've learned from Gay Ann Rogers, it's the colors around it that affect how that color looks. And you can see how a designer could just be fit to be tied, and like I forget who it says, maybe it was Emily, you can't put in an oddball brand thread for a little bit to achieve the look you want, that somebody's going to use a foot of it, and a thread they can't source, but it just happens to be the right red, and you can't do that.
I know that's hard for designers because they're trying to do their art. They're trying to show, get the color they want, and they'd love to use everything, but they realize, especially right now, it's hard to get certain threads. And depending on where you live, some of them are not available at all. And we're lucky. DMC does have a huge color range. Huge. And they add to it almost all the time.
Go ahead and try and buy every color of DMC. Just give that a run. But see, now I'm thinking, okay, as a designer, would it be fun to come out with a design and then post on your website an addendum that says, if I were doing it, I would use all these colors that are charted, and then in these areas, these are the colors I would use. If you have them in your stash and want to play, here's how to play. I wonder if that would be fun.
It might be. And there's some designs that would work better, like the thread painting ones, especially.
Right here in this transition, drop in this color, a half dozen or eight strands of it. Just drop it in the transition, and you'll get a whole different look.
I did a shading class once, and we could choose our own colorway. We picked our we got our own materials, and she did make suggestions though. She says you need at least six shades, and they have to truly move across the value line. And that was harder than I thought to do. And I know I ended up with and I was trying to use things that I already had in my stash, which, you know, I have plenty of stash, but having something that was.
That's the rumor anyway.
Yeah. Never going to show that. But the two, it was interesting to me. The two colorways I had were blue because I had a lot. Someone had given me a bunch of DMC. And so I had a blue colorway and like an orange, which was weird. And I think it was because my daughter at the time liked orange. And so the person had given me orange colors. Mm-hmm. So anyway, but yeah, those were the two ones that I had enough of threads in the to shade, to do the shading project.
Yeah. So that you, so you could do what the class was supposed to deliver.
Right. Yeah. So to go from the very lightest shade to a very, very dark shade.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. It's that's the fun of it. See, that's what makes this hobby fun is you can go all the way from, strictly following a simple 3x3 ornament to delving into things like this and all the things in between that you can do. I mean, there's never an instance where the hobby should be boring.
Always. And there's always more to learn in like the Natalie class. You know, if what tempts me about that class is the color, how she's teaching the color, but I don't do gold work. So it's like, kids tease me about it, but I don't do that. But it's you know, but there, you know, to learn color theory using our hobby is wonderful.
Yeah. Yeah.
Rather than a dry, you know, kind of boring lecture, which I've tried.
Well, I'm digging in with Natalie. I'm going to, I've never done significant couching. I'm just going to, it'll be a train wreck, but I'll learn about color. Well, so,
well, and I think, you know, you guys are, we're going to talk about this tonight, but the fact that she has you even play with watercolors or pencils or something. So you kind of learn to see values and colors in a painting. I think you're going to learn a whole lot. I hope you keep up and you can post a few pictures.
Thanks a lot.
I'm sure you can keep up, but I'd love to see photos of it. To me, it's going to be a great way to learn about color.
Yeah. Oh, I know the pressure of keeping up. Oh man.
I know.
It's hard for me. It's just hard. Yeah.
Yeah. And you know, it's cause you have a day job, a real job, as you call it.
Right.
And Jennifer and I, you know, it's like, yeah, we're both kind of retired. So it's like, yeah, we're married.
Yeah. Jennifer doesn't play fair. Now you know, Jennifer just doesn't play fair. That's just all the way it is there. Mm-hmm. I get tired of one thing. I move to another chair and work on a different project.
Move to another chair. Now I have to move my projects. I didn't move to another chair. My husband would be like, what in the world is set up all over the house? Your stitching is everywhere. Corral this woman.
Yeah. It was interesting, Jennifer's needle painting effort, because she and I talked last week about Trish Burr's Color Confidence book. And she's been doing some needle painting, just simple petals, just stealing right out of the book just to do the exercises. And there's a lot of natural talent with her, whether she'll admit it or not. Those little oval shaped leaves, she got a real nice smooth gradation, top to bottom. And
she did.
Yeah,
she did. And it was, when I saw her first one, I was like, I am so jealous. I'm throwing it down. I'm just not going to even try to do needle painting. And I thought, I have tried it a couple of times, but I could never get that gradation. And then she kept saying, it's all about being random. And I thought, I think she's right. I'm going to have to try this again. She kind of inspired me to, you know, thinking about getting, I mean, I have muslin, I have threads, you know, and, you know, I could do it. But she did a great job. And she just played. She just said, I'm just going to take some time and work on this.
Yeah. And she got it. I mean, it, you know, she always presents herself as someone who's barely adequate, but I mean, that's just really nice stitching.
It's
just so smooth and just everything about it. But it's interesting when you look at playing, you know, so that's just, that's that stream of consciousness kind of stitching where you just make a shape and just sit there and stitch it. It's going nowhere but in the trash, or as an example of what can be done, it's nothing. And so is that, you know, playing at that, or do you need to have a project? You know,
see, I now have color confidence too, also. And, but the book, but.
Yeah, the book. Let me clarify that.
But I was like, I can't just do it. I mean, I just froze. Just the thought of doing what Jennifer did, I was like, I can't do that. And I thought, I'm going to go. I know I have, what is it? Easy needle painting for beginners or something like that. By Trish Burr.
That's a book. And I have that book too. And the other day when we were showing, somebody asked on a Wednesday show about Trish Burr books, and I forgot I had that. That is a really good book to get. What is that? It's,
I don't have it in front of me.
Something needle painting for, it's for beginners, and it's a paperback, weird shaped book, like more horizontal than vertical. But that's a really good book, not expensive to get if you want to have little projects. Yeah.
And that's what I'm thinking. I was going to pull that out because those are small.
Right.
And she meant them to be small. And I thought, I'm going to pull out a simple one of those, and that's what I'm going to work on. But for me, I think it's because I belong to a guild or something in my head. That if I do needle painting, it's got to be just right. It's no longer just play. But if I'm doing surface work, like something like a Sue Spargo or a Fargo or Ariane Zercher, I can just play on that. Just pull out threads, you know, start stitching. It's a little bit, I feel less constrained. But when you talk about thread painting or hardanger or something like that, it's hard for me to just say, oh, I'm just gonna play, I'm just gonna pull out threads and just try this. It's hard for me to get past that.
You have to have some structured design, and then you can relax and play within that.
Yes.
Interesting. So to just pull out a cloth and just do a bunch of cluster blocks and cut some threads to see what happens.
No.
Can't do it. Interesting.
No, I can't. Because I thought about it. I thought, oh, I could just, I'm like, no, can't even think about it. It just makes me not want to even stitch. I'm like, this is crazy.
Well, what is it about that though? Why is it the structure? You got to have some structure.
I think so. And I think that goes, we listened to Jane Dunnewald, and she was talking about limitations. And I think sometimes if you have too many choices, then it freezes you. You can't make a choice. Whereas if you limit yourself, you're saying, okay, I've got to work within this parameter, then I can get started and I can work within that parameter. But just to give a general, well, I'm just going to go play. Well, then nothing happens.
Yet you can, and so it's interesting to me because then you can turn right around and do like Ariane Zercher does and just pull out a piece of cloth and put down some random things and just let it flow.
Right. But if it's a formal stitching, like a formal technique, then I feel like I've got to stay within those kind of those coloring lines, I guess, and I'm less likely to play. Which, like, so Hazel Blomkamp's, the fact that she plays within the cruel work parameters, I find that fascinating, her work.
Yeah.
Because she's no longer, she said, no, I'm not going to do wool. No, I don't have to do that stitch. I'm going to do whatever stitch I want, sort of thing. And I'm like, but she still stayed within the, when she started, she was using basically Jacobean shapes,
Right,
right?
right.
And she was just saying, well, I'm going to, so she was, so that was her limitation, her limits. She placed those parameters around herself and allowed herself to play within those shapes. And yeah, I'm kind of like that. I've got to have those
Okay.
little, a little bit of a limitation around me.
That's interesting because I could see that if you were true to that, but then the fact that you can turn right around and you've done several things like
Right.
Ariane does, you can turn right around and go the other way without hesitation.
Right. But though it to me that I think it's because I it's not formal stitching. It's not
Oh, okay.
it doesn't have that, that it's more of freeform stitching technique.
Okay. So that is what frees you up mentally is there's it's a free form thing. I don't have any preconceived notion of what it's going to be, so therefore I
I
can just
don't
go
have to,
for it.
and I don't have to obey any rules other than I impose on myself.
Right.
As long as it looks good in my eyes, I'm just going to keep going.
But if when you're done, it has to be a tree or a flower, then you need
Yeah.
that outer rim of structure.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
Interesting. Yeah.
So, like on Spring Hill, just thinking about going in and doing that a vine in there, in a section of it, I will have to trace it out and be very careful. And even though I'm just playing,
Yeah.
and it'll be a stretch to
Yeah.
do that because I'll think, oh, it doesn't look right. It's, I'm messing up the design, even though. Like no one cares, it's mine. I can do what I want with it.
Right. And it is a vine. Who,
Right.
show me a uniform vine.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
Or and it probably will enhance it.
Right.
But just it's a mental block. It's a mental thing.
Yeah.
Gotta get over it.
Well, but yeah, it is, but then it's also part of the creative process, isn't it? I mean, it's what makes each of us approach the same thing differently. Is we each have those rules in our head, if you want to call them that, or we each see things differently, and so we could all take Spring Hill. And if told you cannot do it the way it was designed, we'd all come out with completely different pieces.
Right.
That's an and that's an interesting. Okay, there's a stitch along for you.
Everybody has to do that. You're going to have the same chart,
Yep.
but everyone has to make their own unique changes to it.
Yeah, you cannot do it strictly the way it's designed. So here's the chart. Okay, here's the chart, but there's no kit to buy. Nobody is, there's nothing to buy. It's here's a chart, and you cannot replicate it. And then what happens?
Yes. And it'd be interesting to see everyone's different take
Right.
on the chart.
Right. And why?
Right.
Oh man, think about
Now you're gonna
that.
have to, yeah. And I
See?
think sometimes people try, you know, they do it a little bit with charts. They'll take something out they don't like, or, but it would be fun to have a whole gallery of
Right.
where everyone received the same thing chart wise and then said, okay, now you play.
Okay, so we all right, we got to do this. So we got to find first got to find the right chart. I don't think just any old chart will do it.
No.
Ho.
And you know, certain things come to mind. I'm thinking, you know, first of all, like a sampler
Yeah.
kind of comes to mind because you can, you know, change the motifs, you know, change the color, move the bands around or move things around. That would be one way to change it. That would be simple, but also, charted canvas piece. But you'd have to be, and you know who would be the one to ask for this one if you're doing a charted canvas is Gay Ann.
Yes.
Because that's what she sort of did with her mystery. Did you ever do any of her mystery stitch
No,
alongs?
no. Mm-mm.
She would, you'd get the center, you'd get your color choices. No, not even that. She'd say, okay, you go buy a watercolors, and then you need a dark, medium, light value. You need a Krynek. You need, you know, she'd give you what you needed, the types of threads. You'd go purchase those yourself and your canvas, and then she'd give you the center. And then as you went out, you had to make choices on what you put outside of those.
That's
And
fun.
some, yes, it was a lot of fun. And some
So
people did exactly as she
you would
said.
have a you would have a center that she designed,
Correct.
and then
She would give you the rest of the designs, parts of the designs, but you could, you didn't have to, you had your choice. You'd have a choice between two different things or three different things, or I can't even remember. And then you would choose what you would put in the next section. And you would even choose what you put in the center.
Wow.
Mystery in a corner, I think, is one of, I think she might even have still have it up on her website, just to look at. And I have mine that I did.
Interesting. Okay,
Yes.
all right, we got to put that together. That's got to be the next stitch along. Yeah.
Okay. All right.
We
All right.
got to, because that I can just see the variety that we would get out of that. I bet that would be,
Right.
yeah. Okay, all right.
Oh, yep. And that would be, and lots of different, I mean, because you can do, yeah, so many different things we could do.
Yeah. But yeah, just that simple rule. Here's a chart. You can't replicate it.
Can't do it exactly as charted.
Right. Yeah, you can, some parts you can, but you can't replicate it top to bottom. 'Cause I mean there's always going to be some things where there's really practically only one way to do it. Yeah. But in general you can't. Okay, we got to find the chart. Got to find the chart, the design, the something. Yeah.
Yes, something, something.
Okay.
Oh, hit Gary up with your ideas, people.
Yeah, send them. Yeah, what is the chart? Let's yeah, and we'll put our heads together and select one, and then we'll do it.
Yes.
And not a big one. Let's say something that has outside dimensions no more than say 8 inches.
Oh, okay.
You know, so it doesn't become a lifelong project.
Yeah, we already have those.
Yeah. So let's yeah, so okay, so a chart design. You know, 8 to 10 inches, but really 8 inches. So you're not it, it. Yeah, it doesn't take a huge piece of cloth, and it doesn't take this and that and the other thing.
Right.
And then you know, then we'll all right. So yeah, then we'll select one, and that'll be the stitch along. Oh.
Uh-oh. I can hear your wheels a spinning now.
Yep. I'm thinking that's enough damage for today.
All right.
I think so. I think we did it.
Got new ideas too. Oh,
Yep,
yay.
I think so. All right, that's it. Tonight, Natalie Dupuy, Sunday, Brennan and Karen Kirk. Join us for all those things. Thanks for listening.
Thank you. Bye.